Access more.
How to avoid traps that hinder our growth. I'm Monica, single mum to three middle schoolers. I want to be growing as a person, and some days I feel like I'm making steps in that direction. But most of the time I feel like I'm just treading water or even moving backwards, sometimes slipping into bad patterns and behaviours that I know inhibit my growth.
And that's one of the things that we cover here. All this month, we are talking about growth. My name is Robert Beeson.
And I'm Kimberly Mitchell, and we are so glad that you've joined us.
Yes, we are. Mm-hmm. We're glad to be talking about growth this month.
Yes.
And this week, we have Elizabeth Cole in the studio with us to talk about how to avoid traps that hinder our growth. Hey, Elizabeth, how are you?
Hey, guys.
Hey.
It's good to see you.
So good to see you guys.
Glad that you're here. So, Elizabeth, just as a way of kind of setting this up, we all fall into traps that hinder our growth. Mm-hmm. Without giving too much away, I want you to just tease us with one of the traps that you fall into that inhibits your growth. Just one or two words.
Shame spirals.
Shame spirals.
What?
Okay. That sounds like ice creams and
ice cream.
Dun dun dun.
Dun dun dun. I'm anxious to hear more about that. Yeah. We'll get into that in a minute. But before we get started, I want you single parents to know, if you don't hear anything else that we say here, you need to know this, that you are not alone. There is hope.
So true. Both Robert and I were single parents for a long time, and we know how difficult it can be. We also know that you can be transformed because of this very difficult season. I think we're living proof of that in many ways. Not in all the ways, but in many ways. Sometimes we're going to tackle some tough stuff on this podcast, but like Robert just said, know this, we will always end in a place of hope.
Both Kim and I are here to tell you, not only is there hope, but you can overcome all that you've lost. So welcome to the Solo Parent Podcast. On this podcast, we talk about a lot of things that we can do to grow in our lives, whether that be physically growing stronger, emotionally growing stronger, spiritually, or even relationally growing stronger. But inevitably, all of us at one time or another get impeded by things that come up in our life. Some things that are within our control and some things that aren't. So how do we address those things in our life that hinder our growth, that keep us stuck, or maybe in some cases actually have us move backwards towards bad habits and destructive behaviors? Mm-hmm. Well, it starts with identifying what those things are. So today we are going to walk through ways to identify things that hinder our growth so we can be aware of them, avoid them, or in some cases, just directly confront them. Mm-hmm. Well, listen, first, if you are driving while you're listening to this, you're doing something using your hands. For instance, Kim, if we have someone listening that is a Braille proofreader and she's or he is feeling for errors,
oh my gosh,
you don't want to stop what you're doing.
No,
because
not
you're proofreading.
All. Yes. Well, that's important.
So if that's you, if you're proofreading Braille,
but if
keep
you're
doing
listening
that,
to something, then that's distracting.
It is, but you don't need one more distraction on top of that. You don't need to stop what you're doing and writing things down, because lucky for you, everything we talk about will be in the show notes.
I love the show notes. My goodness, Robert.
Yep.
I think you stay awake at night thinking of these.
No, actually, you know what? This was an idea that came from your husband.
Oh, great. I'm so glad that he could be so helpful in this. Oh, my goodness. We're going to have a conversation tonight when I go home. Okay, Elizabeth.
Hi.
Are we ready?
You're ready.
All right. You teased us, and I want you to tell us more about that trap that you fall into that you just mentioned. And what does that look like for you, and how did you recognize it? Let's talk about that shame spiraling, that ice cream.
It's a nasty ice cream, though. It is not good. It's not the swirly goodness you're thinking of.
No.
So we'll just start it with a story. Just last night, I got a phone call from a guy who is consulting one of my clients in his business. Immediately, this guy just starts coming at me with questions about what I do, how I'm, you know, what my results are, how I'm serving the client, what I'm, you know, just running through all these questions. And at first I was like, here you go. Here's everything that I've done. Here's what I'm working on. Here's where we're going. Here's the direction. Here's wins. Here's losses. Here's walls I'm running into. Here's some things where I leaped right over that wall, you know.
Uh-huh.
He immediately just starts telling me all the things I'm doing wrong and just starts criticizing me and criticizing my efforts and telling me it's not good enough and that, you know, that maybe I should even give money back to the client and like all kinds of stuff. And I felt like, you know, I held my composure, and but I did fight for myself, and I was like, you know, here's the truth of what it is, you know, and here's the reality of where we are right now and the media landscape and blah, 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 all this stuff. And he was just, man, he was like coming at me hard. This man doesn't know me from Adam. I don't know him from Adam. He's not asking me any questions. He's not open to hearing anything, just any ideas.
Straight uncriticized.
Just straight.
Can you give us his name and address? I'm just kidding.
I can do some kickboxing moves.
But I was so upset after that phone call. And I was like, it was hard for me to shake. So in the middle of the night, I wake up and I'm just spiraling out of control with all the criticisms and all the lies that he poured on me. And to the point that it was even like, I'm questioning what I'm doing with other clients. And am I living up to like what they need? And am, you know, and maybe I'm not good enough. Maybe I need to be doing X, Y, and Z over here. Maybe I need to go find a real job and quit trying to do this myself. Maybe I'm not, you know, and it just spiraled out of control. And I was probably up in the middle of the night thinking about these things for probably an hour, you know, until I finally was like able to get myself back down and fall back asleep. But like that's a normal thing, or has been a normal thing in my life. That's the first time I've shame spiraled in a while, though, I will say that. But it has been, and it's a trauma response, obviously, and my body's just, you know, overreacting to the criticism, and I know where that comes from in my story, and I've dealt with those things. But I do. I mean, the shame spirals will trap me super quickly. And tell me lies and tell me all the ways that I'm not good enough, and you know.
Yeah. And you can recognize it. You see what you name it.
I do. Yeah. And so this morning I woke up and I was like, and I even, that was one thing that got me back to sleep last night, was like, I'm going to get up in the morning. I'm going to go for a run. I'm going to pull myself out of this. And like, I'm not going to allow this guy who doesn't know me at all pour lies on me, and I'm not going to base my self-worth and my, you know, what I'm doing and what I know, how I am serving the people around me. I'm not going to allow him to speak that over me. You know, it's a hard battle, though. It is not something, once you start going down into the lower depths of the spiral, it's not easy to pull yourself out.
Back out. Yeah, that is true. Robert, what about you? Like, what hinders your growth, or has hindered your growth?
What
you feel?
As I'm listening to Elizabeth describe this, it's so interesting. You know, this is someone that was outside of her circle.
Right, right.
And it's incredible how much power we give people that are even outside our circle.
Yes, true.
But when it's inside your circle, it becomes even more magnified for me. And I'm thinking about times where I was accused by my ex, who knew me well, of not being a good dad in this way, not being a good dad in that way.
Yeah.
And I totally overcompensated and did more than I needed to do for my daughters. Now, here's the weird thing to remember is that when we're talking about these traps that we can fall into that actually hinder our growth, they can actually look healthy.
Right, yes.
Like, in my mind, I rationalized this trap by saying, okay, maybe my ex has some good points and I need to do better at this. And that's fine. But I gave everything she was saying equal footing instead of, and so I overcompensated, not because I thought it was the right thing to do, but to kind of prove something to her or to myself that those lies are not true. And it could look from the outside like, wow, he's just doing an outstanding job. But when you overcompensate for your kids, it can set them up in life for things that are not healthy. I mean, I think self-awareness is a major part of growth.
Yeah.
But that's more about focusing on who you are and who you are becoming and want to be. It's not about focusing on growing, like anxiously getting past something that pushes our buttons or keeps us not growing. I mean, it's not escaping the pain of of becoming. And by that, I mean, like, people can bring up good points about our parenting because we all have deficits, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yes.
But we don't have to remedy them all in the immediate.
Yes.
Because that's not realistic and it's not sustainable. And it can develop bad habits for our kids.
Yeah. Perfection and busyness are two things that I fall into. Because the busyness, when I was a single mama, I was too busy. I was too busy to deal with people. I was too busy. Like, I was doing really good things.
Right.
And I dragged my kids to all of them. It was all at the church. It was all volunteer. but I didn't have time for anything. It was, and it was my son who said, could we have one Saturday where we just stay in our pajamas?
Right.
And that's when I decided to change stuff. And then the perfection part.
Yeah.
Everything has to look good. Everything has to be perfect. Everything. And God really, and I'll talk about it maybe later or some other time, just really took me away from, you're not perfect. You're not perfect, kid, but I still love you. But that's,
and there's a lot to learn in
the
process.
There's a, oh my goodness. And we're still, and I'm still learning. Goodness
Absolutely.
Gracious. Single parent, not single parent. We're all in this journey. Elizabeth, I want you to tell us about, because this is really cool. I really like this. You heard this guy, Adam Young.
Yeah.
Talk about, well, you just tell us what you heard.
You explain it way better. Well, so you got anybody who's been listening to the podcast for any amount of time has heard Adam Young here. Mm-hmm. He was on a month or two ago. So he has a great podcast. And he had this three-part series called How Healing Happens. Mm. And it was back in 2018. So if you want to go find it, just search through. It was like October of 2018. But How Healing Happens, he was talking about the U diagram, and it's by some other counselor, psychologist, whatever, who came up with this. But basically, he goes through the Friday, Saturday, Sunday, death, burial, resurrection of Jesus, and kind of correlates that to our healing.
Yeah.
So if you picture it as a U, on the upper left side is Friday, down in the depths of the U is Saturday, and up on the other side is Sunday, is the resurrection, up on the right side. Basically, what he was talking about is how often we as people want to build a bridge across from Friday to Sunday, and we want to miss the depths of hell that is that Saturday, and how harmful that can be. And so it kind of goes with what you were talking about, Robert, how people... And I did the same thing. You want to fast forward and get to the other side of healing. Yeah. And so that's where that perfectionism can come into play and the busyness and all that, because you're trying to build, you're working so hard to build that bridge to and act, quote unquote, act like you've got it all together when in actuality, you've got to be able to go into the depths of hell to get to resurrection. There's no other way through it.
Yeah.
That bridge is going to crumble and fall through, and you're going to end up in the depths of hell anyway.
Right.
You know? So, I mean, it was hard for me to learn this too, because in my optimism and in my excitement to like learn and grow and be better and do good things, I was building a bridge across and totally not wanting to grieve and not wanting to walk through the depths of it. And it doesn't mean that, I think what I thought, what I told myself is that Saturday was going to be forever. Like Saturday, you know, it was going to take forever to get through it, and I was never going to reach resurrection. And the fact of the matter is, at least how it's played out in my life, I don't know how it is for everyone else, but Saturdays come and go.
Uh-huh.
You know, I might have, you know, a sad moment where I'm grieving, still grieving, 4 years later, grieving the loss of my marriage.
Yes.
And just in the past couple of weeks, I have been, you know, and I've been talking to my counselor about it and understanding where that's coming from. And I so badly, and I told her, I so badly don't want to feel this way anymore. I don't want to still be grieving this marriage that I know was not good for me and I never want to go back to. So why am I grieving it? But I have to. I have to do it in order to get to Resurrection Sunday.
Yeah, growth happens on Saturday.
Yeah, like,
exactly.
In that valley. In the valley. And I think Chrissy McClellan even talks about this too, about those, you know, those patches of wilderness that we have to go through, how necessary it is in order to get to.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the biggest traps for us as Christians is like we don't want to feel uncomfortable, and we associate nothing happening or quote unquote progress not being made with not growing. Where actually so much happens in the wilderness.
Yes.
You know, if you look about the refining of just the children of Israel as they were walking through the wilderness and seeing God provide, and then not knowing, you know, manna from heaven and, you know, the fire and the pillar of smoke. I mean, all kinds of signs that had they just gotten into the promised land, they would have missed out on that whole thing. And I know there's many reasons for them walking around, but the point is that we do try to bridge that.
Yeah.
And so when we feel like, well, I'm not seeing progress, we can somehow sometimes think that that is a sign that there's no growth happening.
Yeah.
When the opposite is actually true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it drives us to overcompensate.
Yes.
like you're talking about. This doesn't always have to be destructive behaviors. It can be healthy things that we think, well, I've got to pull up my bootstraps and get better at this. And exactly.
Uh-huh.
And,
or like listen to all the podcasts or read all the books and learn all the things. Mm-hmm. Like I fell into that for a while where I was like trying to just eat as much information as I possibly could and like take in as much as I could to learn because I equated that with growth. And that was, that was growing my, I guess, education level, if you will, of like being able to talk, have, you know, conversations with people about mental health stuff and all the different things and different tactics and ways that people are getting through their own personal stuff. But I was not walking through my own stuff.
Your own stuff, your own story.
And so, exactly. And that's what's been hugely helpful with my counselor is her just pulling out my story. And even this past week, us talking about the grieving that's still happening with my marriage, what she told me is it has nothing to do with my ex. I'm like blaming stuff on him and saying, well, if he would have just done X, Y, and Z, then this would have never happened. And she's like, it has nothing to do with him. Yeah. It has everything to do with your story. And so we walked it back all the way to since I was little, the, you know, the lies and the stories that, and the needs that I had as a child, little Elizabeth didn't get certain things met and I was looking for it and a husband and thought I had that. And when I didn't have that, everything went, you know, out of control.
As a single dad raising three girls, this is something I wish I had. If you're searching for the perfect way to inspire and empower the young girl in your life, look no further than the NIV Kingdom Girls Bible from Zondervan Publishing. With over 400 engaging features, colorful illustrations, and helpful notes, this Bible is perfect for girls ages 8 to 12 as they learn about the strong and faithful women who came before them. This Bible brings stories of women to life and shows how their faith and strength can still inspire girls today. To order or check out a sample, go to NIVKingdomGirlsBible.com. That's NIVKingdomGirlsBible.com. This Bible has an amazing design and is easy to read. Most importantly, it is a great resource for girls as they grow in their faith and learn about women who have impacted the world. Don't miss out on this opportunity to nurture her spirit and illuminate her path. Find out more, including how to order and see a sample at NIVKingdomGirlsBible.com. Every girl deserves a faith-filled adventure. The link is also in today's show notes.
I want to shift gears here a little bit. Elizabeth, you and I have been through a program, both of us. I think there's a practice within this program that I want to touch on that was very helpful for me, understanding things that impede my growth and kind of naming them. It addresses ways that we avoid facing life on life's terms. You know what I'm talking about. So can you talk to us a little bit about that? We'll go back and forth here, but it was very helpful for me. Describe the visual, if you will.
Facing life on life's terms is a great Chip Dodd quote. But for those of you who are Chip Dodd fans, he's the one who talks about facing life on life's terms. But facing life on life's terms is picturing it as a river, the river of life. The river of life is where our grief lives, where our joy lives, where all of our emotions, everything, all of
life's
our experience,
terms, what life terms, brings us.
What life brings us, everything that it throws at us, from a child being born to grandmother passing away to stubbing your toe, whatever, like big things, little things, it's life on life's terms and you kind of floating down that river and taking things as they come. But what happens is we have coping mechanisms and we can get out instead of living life on life's terms and instead of dealing with the grief that comes from a, you know, a grandparent passing away or a divorce or even a spouse passing away. Instead of doing that, we hop out onto the banks of this river. And so on one side is activity. And so we overcompensate, like you said, Robert. We go into activity. We try to do, get all these things done, whatever that looks like. The other side that people tend to fall into is apathy. And that's when we start binging Netflix.
Yes, right.
You know, alcohol, sex, right. all the things, right. whatever. And basically just do what we can to shut down on the other side. As John Delaney talked about a few weeks ago in the podcast, for anyone who listened to that, sometimes these detachments can be healthy, and sometimes it's necessary to give our bodies a break because we can't take on so much and our bodies just naturally shut down or go into activity, whatever. But it's about recognizing that and not staying in that spot because activity leads to anxiety, undealt with, like when you haven't dealt with it, it leads to anxiety. And then the apathy side leads to depression and those sorts of things. And so it's about recognizing it, kind of like what Delaney said. I like to call him the good doctor. What the good doctor
said,
it's about recognizing that and pulling ourselves out of it and saying, okay, what is it that, why am I on overload?
Yeah.
Reaching within, whether we're doing it ourselves or going to find somebody else to talk to and saying, hey, what am I not seeing here? But does that make sense? It's like, but if you're living life on life's terms, you're kind of floating down the river, maybe getting knocked into a rock.
Right.
Robert, you like to go floating.
Yeah, I do. So does Kim.
So you get it. Yeah, yeah. You guys do it together, don't you?
Yeah.
But you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You're on a kayak and you're floating through and you hit some white water rapids.
Oh, listen. That's happened.
Yeah.
I think I went down some backwards one day. And that's not fun.
I
can just tell you.
Because
that's so interesting, actually, to think of. But in the terms of kayaking. So, yes, our families like to go kayaking.
Yeah.
And I did. Last time we went, we were on water that was a little bit rougher than we're normally used to. And I did. My boat turned around and I went down it backwards.
Oh, how scary.
And you can't see where you're going, but I knew the water. And then eventually, after some finagling, I think my arms hurt for days after.
I know, right? You're using parts of your body that you don't usually use.
Like to try to get back to the right direction. And it was not easy. Bumped around. But then the water leveled out. The scenery was beautiful for a few minutes. You're floating along beautifully. And then there's another little spot. But this time I went down first.
I was going to say, but then that time you probably knew how a little bit better how to navigate and like what to do.
Yep.
And so it's kind of the same with life. Like you get bumped around a little bit by something here or there. Maybe you make a mistake. Maybe you jump out on one of the two banks or whatever. Or maybe you glide through it. And then the next whitewater rapid comes along and you're like, okay.
I got this.
I face it with courage and all that. And so
it's still hard. It's still white water.
Yeah. It's still scary.
But I can face it head on this time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What I love about this analogy is that in order to make progress in life, you have to stay in the river.
Yeah.
Like it's it is okay to find a healthy coping mechanism if you're overloaded, like you were talking about.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if something feels a little rocky, sometimes we have a tendency to just get busy or numb out, like activity. Yeah. And that's why this illustration was really helpful for me in determining what things are inhibiting my growth.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I just really need to stay with the current.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to stay in this really uncomfortable situation with my daughter or really uncomfortable situation, you know, with business and trying to figure, like I don't just have to get busy and fix it. I need to just be present and go, okay, what's going on inside me right now? And what am I either trying to numb out by apathy or what am I trying to numb out by being active? So it really, more than anything, it's just really paying attention to what those feelings are bringing up and what the tendency is.
Yeah.
Are you an activity person? Do you cope with things by getting busy? Or do you cope with things by apathy? Neither one are necessarily bad. But what do you say, what's your tendency, Kim?
So I think it's a bit of both. It depends on the situation because sometimes I have made myself super busy, right? Well, I have to be in control. But then there are other times where I feel almost paralyzed, right? Like I don't know what to do, so I can't even begin. Like, and I get that way a fair amount.
I think we do both.
I think
both
think
so
are too.
So to me, the way they illustrate this is they're banks. So one bank is apathy and one bank is activity. I do both.
Both,
What about you?
Oh, I definitely do both. I think when it comes to grieving, if I'm looking back at my like patterns, if I need to grieve, I go to apathy. I actually just like numb out with Netflix or something like that. Yes. But then when it comes to like what happened last night, it'll send me over into activity and I'll overcompensate and I'll try really hard to like do better.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
Yes. So
and neither one of
depends.
Those coping things are necessarily bad in and of themselves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There are destructive behaviors like too much alcohol, sex, anything that numb out, or doing something on your own. I mean, there are the extremes of both of those, but we're not saying copes are bad. We're just saying a really healthy way to start growing is to be able to identify some of those things that we do and check in with ourselves and go, am I just trying to cope to not feel something?
Yes.
What would it look like if I just sat in this and try to pay attention to what God is trying to teach me in the sense of life on life's terms, not as we want it to be.
Mm-hmm. Elizabeth, how do we live in the middle? How do we not, I mean, that's hard to live in the middle. Like you were saying, Robert, to face and just go, hey, I'm going to do this and not go to this bank and that bank. Like, how do we make sure we kind of recognize and just stay with it?
So my uncomfortable, like feelings of uncomfortableness are when I know that I need to stay in the river, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just all about making a conscious choice.
Yeah.
Even if I feel myself going into apathy, for instance, like over the last couple of weeks and even the last like probably 5 or 6 days, I've gone into some apathy. Mm-hmm. I started rewatching Downton Abbey, and I'm obsessed.
Yes. Well, it's not bad.
Yeah, it's not bad because
if there's
I
other things that
it.
You're supposed to be facing in life, then
But like, if I maybe don't need to stay up till midnight watching Downton Abbey, I need to go to sleep and like get some good rest so that I can face life on life's terms tomorrow. You know, but I did notice that like it was pulling me away from other things that I could be doing to. That are in the river of life, whether it's spending time with Jax or doing some, maybe I do need to do a couple of things for work. And I'm like, you know, whatever, that'll happen tomorrow or whatever it is, cleaning my house, doing my laundry, or even just reading a book because I haven't picked up a book in a little while. All the things that I could be doing to like help me get to an actual place of growth. Deloney actually mentioned this in his podcast too, when he was on how we can get addicted to the anxiety and into the trauma responses and the ways that we kind of
overreact. Stay in a cycle.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And he's get addicted to that.
Yeah.
And I could see in my past how I was addicted to the drama of things and how I could get roped into things because there's this like emotional high or this chaos that I either create myself or I get trapped into other people's chaos and get pulled into their drama. And it's like this thing that I think I got like really addicted to. And so it's been even recognizing that and detoxing myself almost like an addiction, detoxing myself from those things and not going to a place where it was, I've been known to also shut down in those instances. So like one friend, for instance, she told me about a really horrific experience. She actually got upset with me that I didn't overreact to it because I was like, oh man. And I didn't even empathize with her. This was years ago.
Yeah.
I didn't empathize with her. I just completely felt numb to it and was like, huh, you know, and I didn't react. And she got upset. She felt uncared for that. I didn't overreact to it.
Yeah.
But now it's like facing life on life's terms, being able to name and claim like what's going on inside me, what's happening in my body, what feelings I'm feeling and all that allows me the ability to look at those things and say, man, yeah, that really hurts or that's really sad or that's, you know, that's, man, that's bringing up some guilt for me because I did X, Y, and Z 6 years ago to so-and-so, you know, that sort of thing. And that's more about facing life on life's terms. It's not an overreaction of like getting caught up in the drama and it's not an underreaction of shutting down and numbing and being like completely dead inside to what it, to what's going on in life. Mm-hmm. It's about looking at it and saying, oh man, that sucks. Or, oh man, that's amazing. You know, that brings me so much joy to hear that this and this happened to you, you know, or whatever. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh. Totally makes sense. Yeah. I think because we are all going to be caught with things, especially as a solo parent, that that are big deals that, and mm-hmm. it seems so overwhelming, and that's okay. Like it's
it
not, yes. it's just to name it like you're talking about, Elizabeth, and to go, okay, there are some healthy ways of detachment mm-hmm. rather than just numbing out or just getting busy, sitting with it again, back to your U diagram, sitting in the Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And going, okay, God, you're with me. I think mm-hmm. a lot of this has to do with surrendering that part to God and knowing that mm-hmm. he uses all things. And especially in those places where it doesn't feel like we're making progress. I'll tell you, the Saturday of the Holy Week didn't feel like a whole, the God is dead for a full freaking day.
Yeah, like, exactly.
That
no hope
is awful.
Yeah.
He didn't, and that's interesting to me. That's a whole different topic, but like, why didn't you just come back the next day? Uh-huh. Why was it important? I think there is something significant mm-hmm. about the waiting, about that yearning, uh-huh. and but identifying and not trying to bridge mm-hmm. past it, but finding healthy coping mechanisms to get through it and mm-hmm. taking time to detach, read a book, relax, pray.
Yeah.
Delaney says, go on a walk.
Yeah.
Journal. Rest. He talked about his journal.
Yes. Changing our focus. When we do that, we're caring for ourselves and we're allowing ourselves to grow at God's pace rather than what we think is best. Because frankly, what I think is best has got me in a whole heap of mess, you know?
Too.
And but it's so important to know when to surrender and go, okay, God, I'm just going to take life on life's terms. Because it seems to me like when we don't, we start impeding our growth mm-hmm. related to what he wants to do in our lives. Mm-hmm. And I want to say this one thing, and then Elizabeth, I'll throw it to you because you always have one more thing.
True.
We are not meant to do life alone.
No.
And so what hinders growth tremendously for a lot of single parents, including myself, is isolating.
Yeah.
And I'll just say that everyone listening that's a single parent, you do this too. Whether you admit it or not. Because it's hard to reach out and want help. It's hard to just, hey, will you be a sounding board for me? It's hard to show up to our groups and talk. Yeah. It takes work. Yeah. But there is so much reward. We have seen the tremendous benefit in doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So don't isolate.
Definitely don't isolate. Man, if I relied on myself for every single thing, like, and didn't get outside opinions, like, throughout my life, anytime I'm trying to rely on myself, like, I tell myself so many lies and so many stupid ideas and things that are not, don't make any sense. But it's when I bring other people into it with me that I can approach things with wisdom and with a clear mind and, you know, that sort of thing. And so, and even God, I mean, praying and, you know, taking things, some things, there are times when I don't have other people to go to for things and I'm taking it to God.
Yes.
And a lot of times I'm taking it to God first and then he points me towards sending it to other people, you know, that sort of thing. But, you know, I always have one more thing. And you kind of said this, I mean, you did say it, Robert, just don't isolate. I mean, the thing that I tend to do definitely is, when I rely on myself, if I'm not going to God, if I'm not going to other people or a combination of the both, I am, man, I'm leading myself down some destructive paths when I'm not reaching out to other people. And that's true for grieving my own story. That's true for work stuff. That's true for parenting. That's true for everything in life. It's not one thing that I need help with. It's everything. And God created us to be that way and to be in community.
It's true.
So,
These are all really good points. And, you know, before I kind of summarize and tell you what I've heard and my takeaway from this conversation, I just want to say this along the lines of what we just finished on here. In not isolating, I just want to encourage you guys. We have these groups 7 days a week, most of the days, 2 times a day. If you download our app, you can join other single parents around the world by just touching a button and being in a group. And we explore these topics in depth and share what's going on in our lives as single parents. It has been unbelievable the growth that we have seen as a result of this. So I want to encourage you, if you haven't already downloaded our app, I suggest you do that and join one of our groups. You don't have to say a bunch. You can just listen, introduce yourself and say, hi, I'm Robert. I'm just going to sit here and listen. I'm glad to be here. And that's totally fine. You don't have to feel like you have to anything to share. I know it's daunting, but do it. Please join us because it really is transformational. All right. So let me just tell you what I'm taking away from this. And you can disagree with me, which you usually do, Kim.
No.
I want to tell you something before I do that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm drinking?
No.
Tim Hortons. Yeah.
What?
For you.
Thank you.
Tim Hortons is Canadian.
It is Canadian. It's the best coffee ever.
Well, I don't know about that, but well. it's coffee.
Aww,
all right, so
happy.
Yeah. Well, I do what I can to serve.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, so the things that I'm taking away from this conversation is, number one, what hinders our growth sometimes can look healthy.
Yes.
We think that maybe it's just destructive behaviors, but actually this idea of perfectionism, overcompensating, being hard on ourselves, shaming ourselves, these are traps which definitely hinder growth but seem to be healthy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We need to be careful about those things. Mm-hmm. Second thing is, we need to identify and avoid the copes that we do, the coping mechanisms that keep us out of the river of life.
Yeah.
Whether that's apathy, tuning out to TikTok or Netflix or whatever it is, or destructive things like getting drunk.
Yeah.
Or it's activity by overcompensating, just getting busy.
Yes.
Or hyper socially interacting, sex.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, either one of these things take us out of experiencing what God is trying to teach us and inhibit our growth. Mm-hmm. The third is, healthy detachment looks different for everybody. It can look like reading a book. It can look like gardening. It can look like rest.
Yes.
But it's all really important to help us grow. Mm-hmm. And the last thing, and probably sums up everything, is we need to surrender this to God. Because He made us. He has the user manual. Mm-hmm. He's the one that can identify the best way for us to grow.
Yes.
But we need to make space for Him to speak into our lives. And sometimes doing it on our own, in fact, I'd say all the time, doing it on our own is the one thing that can really inhibit
100%
our growth.
Yes, absolutely.
So if you haven't already downloaded our app, I suggest you do that, because there's chat rooms with other single parents all over the globe. Like I said, there's groups every single day.
And also, why don't you subscribe now on the new Access, not new, it's not new anymore. It's just the Access More podcast platform, which we love. Access More is wonderful. All kinds of great podcasts, including ours. Or wherever you get podcasts, we don't want you to miss an episode. And if you would rate the show, that would help other single parents find this great family of single parents. We love you. We love you. I want you to hear that. Thank you for being here.
That's
We're
right.
grateful.
If you want to join us on social media, just search Solo Parent Society, any social media platform, and there we be.
We're not everywhere, but we're there.
We're in some places. But we would love to connect with you there. Yes. Maybe feature you on an upcoming episode.
Yes.
I want to leave our time together, like we do every week, with our guiding verse. It's from Isaiah 41:10. It says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Elizabeth, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
And we'll see you all again next week.